You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to the Clement Maniatella Show. Happy Monday. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you are going to have a fantastic day, just as fantastic as the show we've lined up for you vandag. The show starts with the 702 open line, so give me a call on 011-883-0702 if you want to raise any issue on your mind this morning. If you want to send me a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702, that's where you can send that voice note. The SMS line is 31702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
011-883-0702, that's the number to call. If you want to send us a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702. I've got a message here from someone on the WhatsApp line. It says, good morning, Clement. I haven't gone to groove since COVID-19, but I doubt I will ever go all out given the deaths that have been reported at taverns. It's alarming. That's Nicholas, who's SMSing us from Madrid. It really is devastating. I've been trying to think about how I feel about what happened. Obviously, I'm sad and my heart goes out to the families of the victims. But my goodness, it's becoming a crisis, and it probably is. 15 people killed in a tavern in Soweto. 4 were killed in a tavern in Pietermaritzburg. 2 were killed in Katlehong. And let's not forget the 21 who died in East London last week. And this listener says, I have not gone out to even clubs since COVID-19, and I don't think I'll ever go back there, given what's happening. I wonder if what is happening in our clubs is also getting you to start thinking around that. Are you now worried about going to these places? Give me a call. I'd like to hear if your views are similar to this listener. Let's go to Jabu in Johannesburg. Good morning, Jabu.
Hi, morning, Clement. You know what happened over the past, the recent past, and over this weekend is very much disheartening. Now, this requires the involvement of everyone. Because now, remember, if without an integrated crime strategy, we are not going to win this fight against the killing of human beings and all that. You see, first people have issues around cash in transit, rents and what, you know. They became a day-to-day issues until police found a way, I don't know how, but to deal with it. Now, this one, let us not also be unfair to systems that are aimed at encouraging a reduction of crime. You remember there was this crime busting unit, Amaperet.
Yes, I remember Amaperet.
It was very tactical. The police had a tactical team. It would just randomly get into taverns, you know, deal with issues of random searchings and criminalities. They would run around and do random searches of cars and all that. But now, we were told that they are using a military type of...
Yes. Oh, Jabu, I remember stories about Amaperet and how they were heavy-handed.
Yes, and then some political parties came to the fold and say, no, this strategy is violating human rights and human rights, this. Mm. But who is at the receiving end now? Because now, it shows that the platform that is being used, it's taverns, and simply because criminals also do their homework. They know that one van in a community can't do anything about dealing with crime for the whole community. But we need, you know, a mobile and active crime-busting police force that will randomly go into these areas and support local police stations in dealing with crime. But otherwise, I'm telling you, all of us will always have issues around crying about people who are dead in taverns, because it's a challenge. You know, the same as how we dealt with issues of you know, many issues of cash in transit. Just we need an integrated crime fighting strategy. Even this thing of the minister going to those areas, visiting, you know, the president making statements, it don't assist in the absence of an integrated crime fighting strategy. But we need a unit that will be specifically dedicated to dealing with
that. So, Jabu, I hear you. In fact, I'm trying to figure out whatever happened, because in 2017, I remember Fikile Mbalula, at the time he was police minister, he was now relaunching Amaperete. And I'm just going to try to figure out whatever happened. But I don't want to lie. The terror of Amaperete, when you look at the video footage and how patrons have been beaten up in the past by this section of the police, I don't think, I mean, sure, we don't want to be, we don't want to be reductive and simplistic in our approach and think, you know, you bring in the TRT or bring Amaperete, that's going to solve all our problems. Again, that's going to be a multifaceted approach. That's what any crisis we experience requires. And thinking that Amaperete are somehow going to sort it all out, I don't think that's going to be the case. And this idea that let's just take them. Yes, we understand how heavy-handed they can be. We understand the terror that they bring to the patrons in these taverns. But at the end of the day, when they are doing that and patrolling these taverns and these establishments, the levels of criminality we're seeing now then are going low. But at what expense? At people's human rights being violated in that way? I don't know. What do you think? Is that something that we need to reconsider? Or are you saying that's a no-go zone, given the experience that we have? I'm with Amaperete. I'd like to hear what you think. Kustos in Midrand, hi.
Hi, morning. Clement, it's been a great weekend in sport. Novak won, Charles Leclerc won. Who was the other guy? And the Tour de France is going well, but I won't talk about that. Maybe another team will. But,
you know, listen, I'm happy, Kustos. Well, you raised it, so let me just come in there. I mean, you know, I love Charles Leclerc. I'm a big fan after Lewis Hamilton. Charles is my guy. And
yeah.
I mean, he was incredible yesterday. Did you see how the way he leapt Max twice? So effortless. And it was incredible. I didn't watch it live because I was flying back, but I got home and I went onto my Formula One app and I rewatched the race last night. It was incredible, man. I'm so happy.
No. It was a very good race. And I mean, to see Max struggling is with race.
Hey, he struggled.
It's so sweet to watch.
Hey, and he struggled, Kustos. Yay. But Lewis also did well. I mean, the qualifying and then that crash. He started what? P8?
Yeah, around about 8.
And he made it on podium.
Yes, no, that was good for Mercedes. I think they did it very well.
Yeah.
But Clement, let me come to my point before I waste much of your time. And we're talking about the TRT and Amaperete and whatnot. Look, Amaperete were meant for crime, cash and transit heist. They're not good for public order policing. And then that's just on my comment on that. They were good for crime, for CITs. Because, I mean, remember, those guys are sharpshooters. So, like, what happened over the weekend doesn't require a sharpshooter there. No, it's just public order policing that needs to be done. But, Clement, I didn't like the fight between the Dula movement and those people who were wearing EFF clothing. Now, it's important that you highlight this thing. EFF clothing is easy to get. You can buy it anyway. And everybody put in a beret and pretend to be an EFF, when in fact, they are not. So we need to clarify, not to say probably it was EFF, rather people were wearing EFF regalia. So for me, that on its own is an indication that South Africans are so divided to a point that EFF right now is now associated with, inverted commas, illegal immigrants. And I don't think that is a fair comparison in a way, because EFF is voted by South African citizens. So that, for me, it did concern me. Mind you, Clement, these are the small tensions that you don't see and government doesn't take into account. And they grow on to become a very bigger issue. All of a sudden, remember what happened between Qatar and ANC? It started a small issue like that, like what you saw there between Tutula and the EFF, and later it became a big issue.
Mm.
So we need to nip these things in the bud before they become bigger. And guess what? It's the community we have to really be involved in this. I won't call on the government on this one because these are community dynamics. All right.
Mm.
So I wouldn't say the government must do something. Community needs to do something.
Yeah.
Tudula is standing for South Africans. EFF is voted for South Africans. It is a South African organization, of course, with African links. But in South Africa, the only South African citizens can vote for them. That's why they're in parliament. There is no foreigner who voted for them to be there. So I want to leave it there, Clement.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Kostas, you know my thoughts about Tudula and how they carry out their campaigns, at the heart of what the movement is trying to do, you could argue that there's space there at least to engage. But yeah, the examples of how they've carried out their work in recent times for me is just putting me off. But Kustas, let's hear what the other listeners think. Kustas reflecting on what happened between Tudula and the EFF. I see a lot of you sending messages and saying we must be careful not to praise Amaperede. Look, I feel that way too. But the reality also is that public order policing is not sufficiently equipped and sufficiently capacitated. In fact, on Friday, remember we took that briefing live by the security cluster ministers when they were updating us about a year since the July unrest and what's been done so far. They told us about 10,000 new SAPS recruits, if I'm not mistaken, to bolster the existing capacity, especially capacitating public order policing. They will get about 4,000 new members. They'll get more funding as well. I'm hoping that even the budget that gets approved for crime intelligence, the public order policing in that being capacitated, that's going to help somehow deal with the issues that we have. But please, let's be careful not to be simplistic in our approach and say, crime out of hand. Let's point fingers at the police. Let's point fingers at government. Let's now point fingers at alcohol or at taverns or at the community. All of us at some point need to take some level of responsibility and have a discussion around how we come out of this. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to social ills. It comes down to the rule of law in our community. So how do we deal with that? Your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Clement, we can't now praise Amaperede. This guy is out of line. There was some video which was shown there in the VAR in Sebokeng. Someone was just drinking there. They went onto the table and they kicked this beer. He was just beaten up for nothing. So we can't just be supporting Amaperede. It seems like they were these heroes. Those people were terrorizing people. They were terrorizing people.
Yeah, it was actually quite uncomfortable to watch. I remember some of the videos of in 2012, I think they were called Tele Boys, if you remember well. But yeah, I have a vivid memory of the visuals of the terror that Amaperede brought to communities as they were doing those patrols. I don't think we want to go back there.
Good morning, Clement, and your listeners. Well, your previous caller mentioned Amaperede, your those guys. In fact, they were doing their job. They are doing their job. They were very hard at work. Problem is, they only targeted black community. I never heard of seen Amaperede going to Rosebank at the club or Sentin and Onyx and clapping everyone there, pouring your beer on your head. And they were only black driven, black targeted Amaperede. So in that sense, thank you, no thanks. I'm glad they are not there anymore. I mean, those guys, no. This is Webza in Johannesburg.
Taviso speaking here. I don't know if I'm wrong. What if the government come up with a law that says if we found you with an illegal firearm, we give you 15 years inside the prison, beside maybe whatever that court processes will sentence you. And things like drugs, if you find you with drugs, it's 15 years in jail from the government, besides whatever that the court processes will sentence you. Because without doing this, I think when coming to firearms and drugs, these things are out of control, you know. Government must come up with something very strong when coming to illegal firearms and drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the courts also consider the merits of cases, right? But I think as it stands, my understanding is you could get like that imprisonment could range between 7 to 10 years. I could be wrong. Maybe check that out. You could get about up to 10 years if you were found with an unlawful or you were found with an unlicensed firearm. I could be wrong. So check that out. I'll also check it myself. But do you think that could work? Is that what we need?
No, Clement, I just want to comment on this news bulletin main topic, saying that people are asking questions on if people can keep police safe. What must the police do, Clement? Must the police now, must we station 5 police at each and every tavern?
Mm-mm.
So if someone has got a motive to kill someone for whatever reason that we don't know, must the police be there every time? What if someone tomorrow goes to a school, a shooting, or a mall? Are we going to blame the police? No, we can't blame the police for that. People need to take accountability. Thank you, Clement.
And the police are not going to be everywhere.
Clement, right? We can't now.
Oh, sorry. I think that person sent same voice note twice. And the police are not going to be everywhere. Like, that's the reality. Yes, policing and visibility of the police is important, but they're not going to be every. And we're not a nanny state where the police, we think, are going to be solving all our problems. And we've been talking, even from the time that we had that incident in Enyobeni, we've spoken about how we must look at this situation in broader terms, right? Think about what all of us as stakeholders of the society, what our responsibility is, including government institutions. We are told now there could be extortion related to the recent shootings now. I was listening to the expert that Bongani Bima spoke to on his show, who says that mass murders are mostly premeditated. So should we have specialized teams now deployed at taverns to look at the criminal elements? Is that what we need? Is that going to solve what is the broader issue here? And yes, some people are now talking about alcohol and how that is the problem. Or taverns. We can shut down taverns. Those are part of the township economy. They employ people. And again, we're not a nanny state. We can be in a situation where we also decide, because of certain incidents that happen, then let's shut down these taverns, because clearly more of them out there, there are these criminal incidents, as isolated as they are, but they need to concern us. And yes, they should concern us. But to start having conversations about shutting them down, I don't know if that is going to be the issue. Gun control, maybe that's another conversation we need to have. Alcohol consumption, gun control. As I said earlier, it all comes down to socioeconomic issues and the rule of law. Let's go to Pretoria West now. Mashere, what do you want to say?
Yes, Clement, how are you this morning?
Sure, how's it?
All right. Clement, let me start by saying condolences to the families of those who lost their life during this weekend. Clement, on Friday, of course, you're correct, the security cluster addressed us in relation to what happened in July last year regarding the looting and also the loss of life. And one would have thought that in the background also they would have beefed up the issue of intelligence to prevent these things from occurring. Because there's police that are going to be on the ground. They only react when the thing is already happening. We need to prevent it from happening. But you can clearly see that the ANC government is failing this money to really help us as a country. What do we do urgently in order to... In all sectors, you can see that it comes to the issue of electricity. Every sector, they're failing. What is it that we can do as a country to really take this country out of the hands of ANC?
Yeah, so what can we do, Mushera? What do you think needs to be done?
One of the sort that maybe a referendum where we could really go to any election. The problem is the ANC. If we see what we saw what happened during July, one would have thought that intelligence would be different. Because if you, of course, the police that are going to be on the ground, like I indicated, they only act when the thing is all, the house is already on fire. Why are we not preventing this from happening?
Crime intelligence, Mushere. And remember how when Becky Kelly was busy fighting with the former police commissioner, General Kehla Sithole, he was accusing the police minister of not having signed off on the budget for crime intelligence. And the suggestion was, that's part of the reason why the police were not so effective last year in responding to what happened in July. So there's that as well, you know. There's issues around budget allocated for crime intelligence. And do we have crime intelligence? Huh? And yes, intelligence is not going to pick up everything. But my goodness, if we have effective intelligence, a lot of things could be avoided. And at the rate where we're going, especially in recent years, it's almost as though that's non-existent, really. Did you guys see the statement from Qatar? How weird was that? The Qatar government sent out a statement condemning terrorism in South Africa. In fact, I think they were even quicker than our government in denouncing the shootings as an act of terror. And the statement says, the headline is Qatar strongly condemns shooting incident in South Africa. The state of Qatar expresses its strong condemnation and denunciation of the shooting incidents which took place in the suburb of Soweto, in the city of Johannesburg in South Africa, and led to the deaths and injuries. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs affirms the state of Qatar's firm position on the rejection of violence and terrorism, regardless of the motives and reasons. The ministry expresses the state of Qatar's condolences to the families of the victims and to the government and people of South Africa. When I saw the statement, I thought, hold up, were there citizens of Qatar in that tavern, and maybe some of them are the victims? I don't know. It was just so bizarre. And maybe you have some justification or explanation for why Qatar would want to act so quick to even define what happened there as an act of terror, quicker than how our government was even able to release a statement, I think. Yeah, if you've got some thoughts about Qatar and how they've reacted, I'd like to hear what you think. It's just after 9:30.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
24 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's continue with your calls on 011-883-0702. Dario in Edenvale, good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Hi.
If the crime intelligence had something that resembles crime intelligence, at least they could investigate if this accident, so the weekend, the shootings, were not part of a war between tavern owners, because they were too well organized. They were not a casual thing. People don't wake up and go and shoot people. They came, they did the killing, and they went away.
Mm.
So they were on a mission. So... But, you know, we have the case of Senzo Meiwa, and when we heard the story, you know, evidence has been not even taken into consideration. So I think our criminal investigations are really in a very bad state.
Mm. Oh, imagine if you've got that in a bad state, what kind of a country are we going to be? And people, it's going to be a law unto each, really. There's not going to be any rule of law. I mean, if that's where we are getting into, where even proper crime is not properly investigated because we don't have proper people to even investigate, and they don't have resources to investigate properly, that would be a challenge. Dario in Edenville, thank you for your call. I saw a state. What was it? There was a tweet just related to what Dario is saying there. I'm going to find it. I'll find it shortly. In the meantime, let's go to Aubrey in False Loras. Aubrey, hi.
Hey, Clement, morning. How's it, man?
Sharp, how's it?
Good. Clement, you know, the incident of Soweto, it shows another side of the lockshins, or let's say the township. Corruption, I think it's playing a huge role, Clement. What I'm trying to say, those establishments like the bars and the malls, wherever we go in the lockshin, man, they are not proper, Clement. I'm talking about, let's say, exit and entrance of the place. I think that's why it was only one. Even at the Nyobeni Tavern, when such a thing happened, chances of stampede are very high, because we want to get out the same door that we are using to come in. So it tells me that the place is not proper for to have a lot of people in there. Because if it was followed properly, there would be two exits and then two entrances. So in that case, we are not seeing that. I don't know if we are bribing just to get the license to sell liquor, then they don't follow the proper check that this place, is it suitable to be a tavern? It can have 50 to 20 people or something like that.
Mm.
So we are facing a real big problem when it comes to that. It's a tavern, when I claim it, but it's just at a corner. If someone can start shooting, then we have nowhere to escape. There's no windows where we can escape through, no other doors, there's no fire extinguisher. Safety is neglected very, very bad, Clement.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Aubrey. And yeah, that's where the liquor board comes in, right? These are the people that look at the license applications. They are supposed to go, in fact, and do a site visit before they can even issue out these licenses. They must check if the building is conducive. Does it have the necessary necessary exits, right? So are people going to be safe in that building? But have they done that? And this is just not corruption with liquor licenses. It's across the board. It's across the board. When people need permission for something else, they pay some money. And again, societal issue. So at some point, we need to start looking at what responsibility all of us take and how are we as a collective going to resolve this? Because sure, we can bring a mabarete back, fine. And they'll violate our human rights. They will do as they please with us because they're given carte blanche. They're not properly trained to deal with the public like that. Only public order policing is. Yeah. We can become in any state, but how is that going to? That's not a silver bullet to sorting out our issues. It's not. Let's go to Frida in Ebony Park. Frida, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
Sharp, how's it?
I'm good. Clement, for some of us who stay in the townships and are surrounded by taverns and informal business, we see the looming of this murders and everything because of there's actually a silent war going on between business owners. And until such time, as communities, we work hand in hand with police, and our police are fair and they've got enough resources. I must say that sometimes we are too harsh on actual men in blue who are doing the job. Where I say we've got we've created a security system where we've appointed our own securities and we are paying them, we control who comes in and out. They are unarmed, but they work hand in hand with the police. When there's crime, they report to the police. But sometimes when you've called the police and they attend your case, the amount of time that they take in one case, you can see that they are really trying, but the departments are not working, you know, hand in hand. Our police stations are not equipped with social scientists who can come and say, this township needs this type of resources. I mean, our police, they come, they arrest, the next morning people are out of bail. Nobody is doing the management of the actual incident that are happening in our townships. Our townships are overpopulated. We can no longer even identify who's your neighbor. Today you've got this neighbor, tomorrow you've got that neighbor. So the business people themselves, I mean, the gentleman who was saying, who knows that it was a fight between tavern owners. We even know with car washers, there are people who are doing hostile takeover of car washes in townships.
Absolutely. No, Frida, you're right. I was saying earlier that there are concerns that we could be dealing here with extortion, right? There are some syndicates that are trying to take over some of these tavern businesses. Remember what used to happen? Was it Mamelodi? Was it Boko Haram? Yeah? Those people that used to terrorize business owners, right? Because they wanted the business owners to hire them as security. So what they'll do is even sabotage, right, or plan something that then affects your business. In this context, there are some experts that are suggesting that this could be to propel these business owners to hire certain security firms so they can protect their businesses. We don't know yet what is behind these shootings. So there's just so much going around. But this seems it was premeditated. And if something is premeditated, people sat down, they planned, and they had an intention, a motive. And you've got to ask, what is it? Mario, you're calling from El Dorado Park. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Clement. Clement, I just want to start off by saying that, you know, Becky Triller has to go. There's no two ways about it. He has to leave that office. For reason being, if he doesn't fight with the National Police Commissioner and then fights with citizens that raise concern. See what happened last week with Ian Cameron, with the concerns that he raised. And what did Becky Kelly do? He gave us his travel credentials. Now tell me, will that thing keep us safe at night from criminals or during the day? No, it won't. His travel credentials won't help us at all. If you come to Eldorado Park in Extension 2 near BP, they're shooting every night that's happening here. They don't shoot anyone, but you just hear gunshots every night around 10. The police can hear them. So it's either if you go to the police station, it's either one or two things. It's either it's load shedding and they use their phones as lights by the police station. Or they tell you there's no vents. I mean, if you know that this is a hot spot, then why isn't there any vents in this area?
Yeah. How do you also distribute resources? So, like, you work on the distribution of resources, right? So that it's not just proportional, but you look at what is needed in Eldorado Park, what is needed in Soweto, and you distribute resources according to that need. Because as Mario says, in some instances where crime is so rife, the policing in some of those areas is not so functional. David in Centurion, what do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Keshab, how are you?
Well, thanks, man. My take when it comes to the Amabered, I think I fully support them 100% because when we had Amabered active, if you go to places like Diepsloot, you go to places like Oliven, you go to places like Mamelodi. When you're driving around those areas, you'd find that the taxis are not disciplined at all. You know, they'll just stop and exchange money in the middle of the road, creating traffic. And you guys who are behind them, you are unable to pass. So you just wait there until they are done, you know. And secondly, with the rate of tavern, I used to stay in a place called Clayville, and I had to sell my house to go to Centurion, you know. Next to me, there was a tavern there. You know, the music, the people at night, it was just a nightmare. Even to get into your house, you could not get into your house because people are blocking your way, you know. So with Amabered there coming and making discipline, you'd see that there would be a lot of discipline because people are not adhering to any discipline rules and to respect other people. So I always say Amabered, I prefer them because at the end of the day, us as a normal citizen would have peace in our lives.
You know? So is it a case of the end justifies the means then, David, in that we know how they carry themselves? And you and I, David, will be complaining when we hear tomorrow that the police were clashing with communities and two people were killed in the process. Because you're dealing with people that are trained to be heavy-handed. They're not trained to come and ensure that taxi drivers are behaving on the roads or to ensure that people in taverns are not just, you know, carrying unlicensed firearms, but they are behaving. They are trained in heavy-handedness in how they respond to a situation. So, sure, bring them back. But are you then, what do you say tomorrow, David, when during their clashes with those patrons in taverns, some of the community members end up being killed?
Remember, in most cases, especially when there's clashes, there's a lot of people, you know. And with Amabered coming into the scene, they come there in numbers. So when they come there, they are there to control the situation. And it's unfortunately that if people, they're not following the instruction from them, there will be clashes and people, they'll get hurt, you know. But, I mean, if you call them and then you'll see the order, you know. People, they'll have a discipline. My Beretta, I'm a better, I prefer them, to be honest.
Okay, David in Centurion, I'm still not convinced that that's where we need to go back to. Just check out the videos. Go do a simple Google search on Amabered, especially even in the Vaal areas, in Diepsloot areas probably as well. Like, just do a quick Google search and see how these people terrorized communities. and they're not trained to do this. Huh? So you're going to end up having another Marikana because you're bringing in specialized police to come deal with public order. That's going to spell trouble at some point.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clemens Manyatela
on 702.
9 minutes before 10 o'clock. I'm going to go to your lines shortly. Remember I told you earlier that Qatar sent out a statement labeling what happened in Soweto as a terror attack. Sia on Twitter. Thank you, Sia, for tagging me on a response by Clayson Munyela. In fact, Clayson tweeted six minutes ago and responded to that statement that was sent out by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Qatar. And Clayton says, and Clayson Munyela has been the spokesperson at the Department of International Relations. He's the head of our public diplomacy there now. And he says, and I quote, "Qatar is a good friend of South Africa. The intention of this statement is to pledge solidarity, which we welcome. I have spoken to His Excellency, the ambassador of Qatar in South Africa, who agrees that we should wait for the outcomes of investigations before labeling the incident." So Qatar, went ahead of itself here. They just went and labeled something when we really don't have conclusive information to suggest that is the case. So it seems like the International Relations Department has already spoken to the ambassador of Qatar in South Africa, and the agreement is that, hold off, don't name it that yet, because we don't have the investigations concluded. Let's rather wait for that. Thank you, Sia, for taking me on that response by Clayson Munyela. Khosi, you are in Kagiso. Good morning.
Morning, Clement.
Sure.
This is Khosi. Okay. Clement, I'm going to disappoint you just a little bit and agree with the previous caller who said a heavy-handed approach, in particular Amabered, will assist.
Mm.
It will not be a conclusive solution to crime in South Africa. However, Clement, let us agree. You remember the time when Becky Cele was the commissioner, national commissioner,
mm-hmm.
Balula was the, I don't remember if he was the minister or deputy minister of police. And they came up with this shoot to kill. You remember that? And now, when you look at that period only, the crime statistics will show that they went a little bit down. They were approachable, they were controllable. However, we should not also forget that during that period, innocent people were caught in the crossfire. That one we cannot run away from. But I mean, we cannot live in a state that we are today, where we live in fear. Everywhere you go, you have to live in fear. You cannot go and entertain yourself in a tavern at night as an adult and you are attacked. It may be, like the other caller has said, it may be that there is infighting between tavern owners.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, yes, it's correct. It may be correct. But we need an approach, Clement. You need an approach which I believe myself should be a community-based approach in fighting crime. You can throw in the money, you can throw in the entire South African budget into crime, but as long as a human being is still alive on earth, they will be crime.
Hmm.
And now we need the community to get involved.
I agree with you, Khosi. I agree with you. All of us have to be united in dealing even with the issue of crime. So do you think then what we need now is the heavy-handedness of Amabered? Just Justice on Twitter says, at this rate, Clement, I think we need that. Things are getting out of hand. They can be given a mandate to stop and search cars at night, mainly from Thursday to Sunday. Some can help in the safety of police stations. That's what Just Justice says there on Twitter. Here's a voice note.
It's not about just the taverns, Clement. I have a strong feeling that we've become suddenly so fragile, so weak, so anybody can attack. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, our country doesn't have a strong security system. you know, intelligence system. Yeah. Terrorism could be making its way swiftly in. Who knows that? Yeah. Anyway, they should be thinking of such things as well. Yeah, South Africa is... it's not guarded.
It's actually quite scary. It really is. It really is scary. What did I say on Friday? I said we are still exposed, even after listening to that briefing by the security cluster. And then they're not talking about masterminds anymore. They're not talking about instigators anymore, because the tough thing with that is we're going to ask, okay, where are they? You told us you've identified them, but where are they? So, yeah, it's actually quite crazy. It's very scary. Ernest Sefolo, in Garankuwa. Remember we took a call from Ernest last week, and Ernest was asking for help, wanted some assistance with transporting some tennis players in Garankuwa, and he was asking for you guys to assist, and I gave you some feedback just before we ended the show that we've had some of you who pledged some support. So we've got Ernest on the line to give us some quick feedback. How are you doing, Ernest?
I'm doing very well, Clement.
I'm good. How did the event go on Saturday?
It went very well. For Saturday and Sunday, the kids had a very great, great experience.
Yeah.
And I couldn't thank the 702 listeners coming to our rescue in that moment of need. I just wanted to say to you and your team, thank you very much. We were able to go, and they had a blast. And I wanted to say, may you continue walking the talk that 702 always speaks about, walking the talk.
Wonderful.
I just want to also say to everybody else that wanted to make a bigger contribution to what we were requesting, I wanted to thank them as also, just to say, may they continue giving help where it's needed in South Africa. Thank you very much to the gentleman by the name of Rodney Moloko, who contributed the funds of 1,000 rand towards the transport, and a gentleman who contributed the minibus taxi, who wishes to remain anonymous. I just want to say thanks.
That's wonderful. Ernest, I'm happy to hear that, man. And good on you on the work that you're doing in the township and getting kids to be involved in sports. Thank you. Ernest called us on Friday saying he needs a 2,000 rand or some minibus taxi that can transport kids in the township who play tennis to Irene in Centurion. And a lot of you, Reverend Matebule as well, called in and you said, we are going to help. And on top of offering him, right, and helping him with transportation, there are people who pledged some support in the form of money. So thank you, 702 listeners, for walking the talk with us.